Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey everyone, the third issue of the WrestleTalk magazine is now available. Head over to wrestletalk.bigcartel.com for more information. We've got a great issue this month featuring our reviews of the Royal Rumble, Wrestle Kingdom 10 and Raw 25, including the WrestleTalk crew counting down their top 25 moments of Raw history. So head over to wrestletalk.bigcartel.com for more information.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke at WrestleTalk.com.
Yes, I finally have an email address for this company I've been with for nearly a year.
God, it is nearly a year.
Well,
I started in March, like we started making videos together,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't until July, was it?
Yeah, July was when I officially joined.
Yeah, when the wonderful Patreon people made that possible.
Certainly did.
By reaching a certain goal we had.
Yep.
And live now, this life.
I get to live this dream. And now I'm here. Mm. And this is my job now. I now have an email address, which is luke@wrestletalk.com. So if you have questions you would like us to answer, possibly in the podcast intro and outro, why don't you send me them? Send me stuff. Not like, you know, rude stuff. Not like lewd stuff.
What about Bobby Rude stuff?
Maybe Bobby Rude
what
stuff?
What about Rick Rude stuff?
I'm all over that. Mm. But if you
what
just
about rowdy stuff?
Like Ronda Rousey?
Roddy Piper, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that as well. If anyone wants to just send me pictures of Bobby Rude or Rick Rude, then that's fine. It's luke@wrestletalk.com.
I hope people do that. Your mailbox, which hasn't had any emails sent to it yet.
No, my wife sent me an email.
Ah.
Yeah.
And I guess you got the Gmail welcome to the family,
yeah,
here's how to set it up
like,
thing.
They send you three emails, which I think is a trite unnecessary.
It's a bit much. But now you're just going to be inundated with pictures of Bobby Roode.
And any questions you might want us, any topics you might want us to discuss in the intro and outro, maybe you want to hear less about spoons and more about some other kind of eating influence.
Who would want such a thing? I forgot to talk about spoons in the last episode, which was the Elimination Chamber review. But don't worry, because today's spoon is a demitasse spoon.
Diminutive, smaller than a coffee spoon, for traditional coffee drinks in speciality cups for spooning cappuccino froth. Oh, so I know what this spoon is.
Yeah. We're about, I would say, a quarter of the way through all the spoons.
I'm not sure we're that far in. I'd say a fifth, maybe.
Mm, so many more spoons to come.
Absolutely.
Crap gimmicks is another thing you can send to Luke.
Yes, crap gimmicks. Also send those across to me, because we eventually will get back into doing those at some point.
I forgot they existed.
I know. Well, we've been so busy, because there's been like news and stuff, and we've got questions that we need to answer. And now, because the mailbag is open to everyone, like this coming Friday, bumper mailbag special, because we've got a lot of mailbag questions that need to be answered. So many topics. So many hotbeds of
hot topics.
Hot topics. We need hot topics because it's so cold at the moment.
Yes. We're going to put all the topics over us like a blanket and just debate. Debate under those topics.
My wife went to work today with a hot water bottle under her coat.
That's ridiculous.
That's what I said. Well, so, I didn't really. I said it was very smart.
I was woken up very nicely by my lady partner today. It's not sexy. Don't give me that look.
Sounds it.
So, of course, wake up quite early to watch SmackDown from the night before. She wakes up embarrassingly late. But this morning I wake up and she was awake like that. She was asleep, but as soon as she realised I was awake, boom, she was up. And she was like, no, stay there, close your eyes. And I was like, okay, it's like 6:15, this is weird. No idea what's happening, close my eyes. And she's rummaging around, she's like, keep it closed. And then she's like, now open them. And I open my eyes and I've got a bag of popcorn in one hand.
Yeah.
And a bag of like peanut butter, chocolate, munchable sweets in the other, which look delicious. And I'm kind of taken aback and I think, but sweet breakfasts are not my thing. I like ridiculously savoury bean and egg-based breakfasts. Mm. But these look nice. And then I see the card. 30 days till you're 30.
Wow.
Today is my happy 29 and 11 month birthday.
Wow, is it really 30 months?
I didn't know until this morning, but my lovely lady partner did.
Does this mean you're getting a card now every day until then?
I'm going to be disappointed if that's not the case.
Yeah?
But on the card, it wasn't like a card. It was a token. I can watch with her any film.
Wow. Oh, this is great. Do you know what's great about this? This is great for multiple reasons, obviously.
Ready to rumble. It's going to be ready to rumble.
No holds barred. That's where you want to go.
Oh.
Definitely no holds barred.
Well, I'm sure the Swaft Nation have loads of suggestions that you can send to Luke because my email address is fine. Do not send. But I, you know, it's not easy. It's not hard to figure out what my one is.
Ollie's email address is just for business. No, I was going to say it's great because I need to think of things to get for my wife because her 30th birthday is coming up roughly around the same time. Mm. So I need to start prepping. But I didn't know you could get this 30 before 30 card thing.
I don't know if it's a thing. I think it's just a nice.
Oh, she's very good.
Yeah, she's nice.
But she didn't text me in advance to say like, "Hey, I've just come up with this brilliant idea. Mm. Do you think you might want to do it for your wife as well?"
You're gonna coordinate. You need to coordinate more. You need a little WhatsApp group.
I know. Yeah, we should actually. That's a bloody good idea. Maybe that's what we'll do. We'll set a little WhatsApp group.
If any movie suggestions, they could be nice romantic movies. Movies that I will enjoy more. So things that my lady partner doesn't enjoy, anything to do with history.
Mm.
But I love history. So any good history movies, stuff that's mainly dominated by male white characters because she finds it harder to get into. Me, I'm fine. That's what I relate to.
Represented.
I like being really overly represented in cinema. I watched The Post last night.
Yeah.
I loved the heckins out of it because, and I said at the end, like, you could shave off the 15% of schmaltz in that movie, and the schmaltz is just like the worst Spielbergian. But man, I can watch people sift through papers in someone's front room in suits.
Yeah.
Just for the rest of the evening.
Business.
No. Reporting. It's great. Loved it. Tom Hanks is, what more needs to be said?
So do you think that it is going to be a better film than Ready Player One?
Yes. Well, I don't know. I don't really know where I fall with Ready Player One.
Mm.
Because I'm not. It seems too sickly sweet with the nostalgia. You've read the book. I don't know much about
it. I've read the book multiple times.
Yeah.
The book is, it's a reference a minute. It's like a Joss Whedon movie where it's a joke a minute. Every scene has to end with a punchline. Every scene in that book has to end with a reference.
Mm.
Or every sentence has to end with a reference. But I really enjoyed the story. And I'm looking forward to seeing it up on the big screen. My friend was telling me about an interview that he read with Spielberg where they're asked, like, how did you manage to get all of these licenses? Like, this is stuff that is across all multiple studios. There must be loads of legalities that need to be gone through. And he says, like, everyone just wants to work with Spielberg.
Oh, I just thought he was going to say, because I directed or produced every single one.
Well, he said in an interview, like, prior to sign, like, when he signed on, he said that the first thing he did was go through Ernie Cline's script, because Ernie Cline also wrote the script for his own adaptation. He took out all the references to his own movies because he thought that would be too self-indulgent. But he kept in the DeLorean because that's quite key to the character.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to it. The trailer does not entice me.
Have you seen the later trailers?
Yes. Oh. And they do get better, but still it's not really hitting me. But I'm willing to be enticed. And
I haven't watched the final trailer, but apparently that's the best one.
Oh, okay.
But I try to watch like one or two trailers and then I'm done.
But this is a wrestling podcast, a podcast for wrestling people. So let's do some iTunes reviews and crack right on with an hour and 20 minutes of wrestling chat from Panda_OS. Best content for all things wrestling. It sounds like we paid for that. it's not written. Best content for all things wrestling.
Or it was a pitch that we have sent to a potential sponsor.
Yeah.
We are the best content for all things wrestling.
Work with us. Always superb discussion on the state of wrestling today and where it will be. I'm so glad there's a talk show about wrestling that's more than the WWE.
Well, thank you, Panda.
I hope you enjoy this Raw and SmackDown episode. Fox DeVille writes, 6.5 podcast. I assume they meant to put star after.
Yeah,
six
I was going to say, isn't it weird that that's how our minds work now? That when we just see the numbers 6.5, instantly we're like, stars.
Yeah, it could have been out of 10.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, absolutely. Although if it was, I suppose it would still give us 5 stars. But you'd have aggregated it and given us 3 stars.
If I could rate this podcast a 6.5, I would. But the stars can only go so high. Come on, let's rewrite the star system.
Yeah.
Let's make it a 50 out of 50. These guys are great and their ramblings are one for the ages.
Thank you, Fox DeVille.
Thank you, Fox DeVille. Let's get on with the show. It's that throughout the whole night, it's build this confrontation between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. Brock Lesnar's going to be there. He's advertised for the show in advance, which is a pretty slimy promoter tactic for people who have paid to see Brock Lesnar in Las Vegas. If certain reasons for this not happening turn out to be true. But Roman Reigns comes out and he says, look, I'm going to be honest with you. Brock Lesnar has no-showed today's event. We don't know if that's real. Like, if that's real or WWE have done that as part of a storyline. In which case, you advertise the guy who you knew wasn't going to be there as part of a storyline, and he's one of the main draws. So that's a little bit slimy. That's bad promoter tactics in my book. You lied. But it did create a very engaging story. Roman Reigns went on to quite obviously say a script, but he said the script very well. And in that he was trying to make it seem like this was off the cuff, that he was going against the plan, that this was a shoot, but it was not a shoot. It was a worked shoot, brother. Which means you're saying things that are true, shoot, but it's been approved and everyone's signed off on it. It's a work shoot.
Just make sure you don't work yourself into a work or shoot yourself into a shoot.
That's the worst thing, brother.
much love, HH.
I love the wrestling business sometimes when it gets so petty and weird and carny like this. And, you know, you've got the thing of the guy who didn't show up is someone you advertise as well. It's just,
well, on that,
I like it.
On that, mate, card's subject to change, brother.
Yes, like, brother.
We can always advertise these things, but sometimes like the card is subject to change.
The crowd shot themselves into a work. Brother.
Brother. So, I loved this segment, and I thought about this promo like after the fact. It was the one thing that really stuck with me from the show as I was coming into the studio, and I was like,
not this. You know what I'm doing?
Is that...
That is Kurt Angle getting sucker punched by Triple H.
I was going to say, that image of Kurt Angle being punched is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
It's brilliant.
It's like a perfect capture.
Within 24 hours, Kurt Angle has become one of the most chore-like aspects of WWE to one of my favourite things.
It is like that photo is literally record scratch freeze frame. You're probably wondering how I got here.
Yeah.
Like,
let me just take you back a couple of quick. Oh man!
But it's so I just thinking about this promo, because this promo was so good. Because I agree with you that
I'm doing this whole film in my head now that starts with that, and it goes back to Kurt Angle at college fooling around with Jason Jordan's mum, winning the gold, and then Stephanie.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's probably the reason, isn't it?
It's all that 2000 stuff is finally paying off. But yeah, so like you are right. Like if they advertised Brock Lesnar for this show, and then I for my money, I think Lesnar was at the show. Mm. I think he was backstage.
Oh well, reports say he wasn't. And the more confusing thing, or the more significant thing, is that's not uncommon. But for Paul Heyman not to be there either, is strange.
Okay, so here's my thoughts on this. If he's not there, it's even better. I wouldn't have Brock appear on Raw until Mania. I would continue to advertise him for shows and then not actually have him appear on those shows. And just have Roman Reigns keep coming out saying, like, hey, this guy's once again not showed. Mm. And build, because it worked for Roman. People were booing the fact that Brock wasn't there, but cheering the fact that Roman was there. If you want to build Roman up as the babyface that people want to see, like, I would even, I said this yesterday on Twitter, I would even say things like, reveal that he's been dealing with UFC, announce that he's going
well,
to
Well, they mentioned UFC, didn't they?
Yeah, and talk about, like, just go into massive details about that. Get that WrestleMania 20 heat on him.
Mm.
Like, basically admit that he's leaving. And so that way the crowd might actually boo him at WrestleMania 34 because he's the guy that's leaving, and you want to see Roman Reigns beat the guy that's leaving so you can get the title back.
Yes, it definitely worked this week because the crowd cheered him, and I got on board with Roman.
So on
and
board.
I was as dejected as anyone else was following the Elimination Chamber result. I was same old, same old. Here we go, Reigns versus Lesnar. I don't really care. And I didn't care for the whole night when they were promoting this face-off. But when it actually happened, it delivered. It made me want to see a match. That's what wrestling promos should do. Now, the one thing I would say to your point is, does that not make the WrestleMania main event predictable? If you build it all around Brock's... I know. But if you're saying Brock's going to leave, then that's almost... Like, we know in our little bubble... But the vast majority of wrestling fans who don't watch this sort of stuff on YouTube, they probably don't know that they can feel the result, but they don't know it for certain. So if you start saying outwardly on Raw, Brock's going to leave, then that's the way you could do it is build Brock up in a CM Punk heel kind of way.
Well, that's
I'm going to leave with the belt.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The alternative is like people weren't sure if Punk was going to win at Money in the Bank 2011 because he was leaving.
But that turned him into a super baby face.
But they were telling a different story there because his story was, I'm going to take this belt to Ring of Honor. I'm going to take it to New Japan. And wrestling fans are like, oh my God, that sounds absolutely amazing. I want to see this storyline. Whereas Brock's thing is just like, I'm just going to throw this belt in the trash. I don't want it.
I think you've got CM Punk's appeal completely wrong. That was definitely a part of it, but for me, and I think the vast majority of fans watching that angle, it wasn't CM Punk going to all these other companies and taking the belt around there. It was CM Punk screwing over WWE. Because WWE is the heel here.
Yeah, but I think those two are intrinsically linked.
No, I think I want to see Punk hit WWE more than I want to see Punk hit for Ring of Honor, you know?
Yeah, but I think those two are very much linked.
Like,
you're right. That, like, I mean, part of the appeal is that Punk screwed over, like, is trying to screw over WWE by taking their title and defending it elsewhere. Like, those two are very
but
much
But he doesn't
together.
Even have to defend it elsewhere. I wasn't really... I was interested in that, but the real crux of the emotion was from...
Okay.
Especially with how much I disliked WWE management at the time.
Yeah.
After the Nexus. Pepperidge Farm remembers.
But, I think if you have Roman... Or Brock just doing these interviews, doing these outside interviews. Like, don't even do it with WWE.com. Do it with
ESPN,
like ESPN or something like that, where it's like, yeah, I'm going back to UFC. We're going to arrange these fights, and I'm going to be taking. I'm not really bothered about this title. I'm just going to throw it in the trash once I beat Roman at WrestleMania, and try and play him up as like this anti WWE guy. This guy who's just like, I think wrestling is stupid. And even then, when you actually come around to booking the match. book the Brock Lesnar that we sort of saw when he came back in 2013. This Brock Lesnar that was like, this, don't bother throwing this wrestling nonsense on me because this is all fake and phony and I'm a legit fighter. Do that, but then have Roman completely, like, so Brock's in on the whole thing and then starts selling for Roman like an absolute beast.
Wrestle it like a shoot fight. Yeah. Like that John Cena Extreme Rules?
SummerSlam. Yeah, do that. But like, where, like, yeah, you think that the SummerSlam one?
No, Lesnar's first match was the Extreme Rules.
Yeah. I thought you meant the Cena.
Suplex City was SummerSlam. Yeah.
But it wasn't the debut of Suplex City Bitch, which was WrestleMania 31.
Oh, really? It took that long.
We're nearing the 4-year anniversary of it.
It flies by. I think this is good. This is a good way to package everyone. I can't see WWE and UFC kind of cross-promoting each other because either Brock's leaving and he goes to UFC, in which case WWE has built up Brock Lesnar's return to the UFC on their main show of the year for a month, or Brock Lesnar doesn't go to UFC and UFC are like, What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is that cool? Is that legal?
Well, I was going to say, like, there are plenty of, like, cogs. In my fantasy booking warfare scenario, there are many plates that need to be spun and many cogs within a machine that probably couldn't actually happen in real life. But, like, from a fan perspective, yeah. Like, in my wildest dreams, I'm just like, this would be a really great storyline because this helps get Roman over as a babyface, as the guy who's fighting for this company and is fighting for wrestling fans, not fans of mixed martial arts and things like that. Like, they've tried everything else with Roman. We've tried to make him a super babyface. That didn't work. We've tried making him the hero of America. That sort of worked for a bit. Now, like, let's have him as the guy of the people. Like, it could work.
I'm there with you, and I was trying to imagine it in my head, and I was like, you know, Roman comes out for WrestleMania, but then I heard Michael Cole defending WWE, you know, he's threatening to take our championship, and just like they did, you know, how everyone went against Punk.
Yeah, you turn against him then.
Shut up! Jerry Lawler!
It's the big dog. Ah, shut up, Michael Cole. Yeah. I don't want to see him now.
Bro, screw him off, Brock. So that's what could happen, or, you know, in the future. But the actual promo itself, props to Roman, because this was a very fiery, intense promo. I thought he did it very... It was one of his best promos he's ever done.
I was going to say this and his last promo he cut on Cena before their match at No Mercy last year, which was the show where Cena wasn't there.
Yeah.
And it was the promo where he played Cena cutting that promo on Rock, where Rock wasn't there. And he mimicked everything that Cena did in that promo. And he even did, like, the flicking of the mic. It was so awesome. And it made Roman look like such a badass. And much better than the weeks previous, where John Cena made him look like a complete doofus. So, like, those two promos is when Roman is doing these work shoot promos, is when he's at his best.
And showing that fire and being a badass. It's like, this clearly is the way to... If you're not going to turn Roman heel, this is clearly the way you need to present him. Why haven't you done this on a consistent basis for the last 3 years? You know, going back to that suffering succotash. Because that's what... You know, that's the moment when people started to sour on Roman.
It's because they wanted him to be John Cena. Like, it's WWE trying to get out of the status quo. Like, John Cena had at that point had been on top for what felt like 20 years. I mean, it was like, you know, 10 years plus or whatever it was. And they were like, oh man, we haven't got Cena anymore, but we still need Cena. Let's just make Roman the new Cena. Let's just make him do everything that Cena does, and we can just, like, heat transference, as you once coined the term, and we'll just carry it over into Cena. But that didn't work for Roman. We liked Roman when he was the badass of the Shield, when he was just this unstoppable Samoan machine.
Well, we'll see what happens next week with the build. But for now, let's go back to the start of Raw.
Haha, it's a Raw review. Looking jacked, man.
Raw kicked off with the women's division.
We almost had our own record scratch. You probably wonder how we got here.
Yeah. This is a shame because we were talking about Raw and how good their women's division. They had, like, three distinct, uniquely engaging and intriguing storylines going at one time. There were multiple segments on the show for the women's division. Characters were being fleshed out. Storylines were being developed. Tensions were being, you know, tensioned. And here we are back to pre-Royal Rumble, where everyone is in one segment. For no reason, alliances are reformed. So Alexa Bliss and Mickie James came out first off, not really explaining why Mickie James is with Alexa Bliss after the Elimination Chamber Uneasy Alliance storyline.
Or pre-Elimination Chamber, pre-Rumble. There was... Just they're now friends again. And like Mickie wasn't standing behind her being like, oh, I'm about to stamp you in the back. I'm not here because we are friends. I'm here because we've got this sort of alliance. She was there being like, I'm your muscle.
Yeah.
And we're the bestest of friends now.
I hate this about WWE when they do it. And it's just, we're going to treat our viewers like idiots. So here it is 1 week. Just accept it. It's exactly what they did with Alexa and Nia Jax.
I was going to say the
same thing. When they scrapped all of their feud. And when Nia finally turned on Alexa, suddenly they're best friends the next week. It is infuriating because it says to us, well, why should we care about anything that happens if it doesn't continue on to next week?
Completely agree.
So
it was a real shame because it was a good promo by Alexa again. You know, and I really, really like Alexa Bliss, but I just couldn't get over this. Best wrestler in the world. I just couldn't get over this Mickie James Alliance thing. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Then Nia Jax came out.
No, Asuka came out.
Sorry, I just didn't care really about this segment.
Although, Bliss had some money moments in this. Mm-hmm. And again, do you know what she's really great at? She's great at shutting down what chance. She's so good at shutting those down. And she's always got a unique way of doing it that the crowd don't see coming. And
duly noted.
She was getting the what treatment. So she was like, oh, can you not understand Asuka? Maybe I'll do this in a language you can understand. Mm. And then just started speaking very slowly and very purposely, like Brits would when they used to go to Spain.
My parents on holiday, they want to talk to someone who can speak English quite well but is Spanish.
Yeah, that's
they just yell at them.
Yeah, exactly.
Not yell at them meanly, but just say the same sentence.
Where is the taxi rang?
Exactly.
Yes,
like that.
That's exactly it. So I thought this was a really great moment for Bliss, and it got some legit heel heat on her, which was I thought it was wonderful.
So Asuka comes out, Nia Jax comes out. And Alexa's putting over how it should be Nia Jax going to WrestleMania, not Asuka. So I don't know how that might play into things later. And then all of a sudden, it was Alexa, Mickie James, Nia Jax versus Asuka, Bayley, and Sasha Banks.
Yeah, Bayley and Banks just running down together. Yeah.
Oh, that was so annoying as well.
I was going to say, but that sort of plays into the match. But it sort of played into the match.
Well, it definitely did play into the match. That was the story of them. And during the match, there was like a moment when Bayley really hardly tagged Sasha Banks in, almost a chop across the chest. And later when Sasha was going for the hot tag, Bayley hopped off the apron and walked away. That's great. That furthers what happened at Elimination Chamber. But then why did they run out together in the first place?
Well, no, even more to that. So Bayley jumps off the apron, like, to avoid the hot tag. That's where you set up Banks has been screwed. She's left in a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-1 scenario, and then Banks gets beat. But no, Banks just tanks in Asuka. Asuka runs wild. Bayley then runs back in to attack Alexa Bliss. I'm like, so actually, what you did, you didn't screw your team. You didn't screw Alexa. Mm. You didn't screw Sasha Banks. You won, and everyone's a winner. Like, her actions created no consequences. So that's really terrible storytelling.
There was a shot at the end where Sasha Banks was by the barricade on the ground, kind of looking at Bayley sadly. But I just don't know what story they're trying to tell here. It's not good. And it's just one that's been going on for freaking ever.
Yep.
Sasha Banks and Bayley. You don't need a long, drawn-out thing anymore. It's been brewing. The beans are now off. I've had them on like number one hob setting since 2014, and now they've just grown mold on them. I just need a quick turn in a new can of beans.
Yeah, this was not great. Asuka won with, although I did like Asuka's combination knee bar and arm bar thing. That was pretty wicked.
Asuka's great.
And Mickie James tagged out. Maybe that's why Mickie James is teaming with Alexa Bliss again, because they just need someone who can take pinfalls and tap out losses.
Can't beat Nia, can't beat Alexa.
Exactly, so you'd put Mickie with her, so Mickie can just take all the losses.
In double denim as well.
Double denim.
John Cena then came out next, and He was continuing the storyline that I've always been a fan of, regardless of what Luke is trying to push as fake news. and he's dejected. He lost at Elimination Chamber. He won't get his WrestleMania match, but now he's figured out how he's going to get a WrestleMania one. He's going to challenge The Undertaker. And this got a huge pop.
Massive.
Like, everyone was going crazy for it. Yes, Chance. Cena looked awesome. He was like, yes. And doing some muscle things with his muscles. And that all looked great. And then he goes, but that can't happen.
Mm-hmm. I've been told that can't happen.
Yeah.
So I'm going to SmackDown Live and I'm going to find my opportunities there.
Mm.
It was a really interesting promo that, for my money, confirms that it is Cena Undertaker at WrestleMania. Oh, but
at
this point, it has to be. Like, you and I were talking about this just before we came in here. If it isn't Cena Undertaker, because there's a new rumor coming out that came out today that it's going to be Cena Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania. And even on SmackDown, they were teasing that it was going to be Cena Nakamura at WrestleMania. But at this point, it has to be Cena Undertaker, because anything that is announced less that isn't that is going to feel lesser than Cena Undertaker. If it's not happening, if it's not Cena Undertaker at Mania, don't mention it. Never bring it up.
It's Chekhov's gun, which is the storytelling rule where if you show a gun on a mantelpiece in Act 1, in Act 3 that gun has to be fired. Set off and payoff. Set up and payoff.
We know WWE are so good at doing.
But this Undertaker-John Cena match has been rumoured since about mid-December.
Yeah.
And, you know, people say, a lot of different websites are saying, this is it. Reliable websites for ages. So, yeah, it's got to be, right?
It has to be at this point.
The only thing where it could be Rey Mysterio or whatever is if there is something, if there's a big shake-up on the way of the WrestleMania card, being in the form of either Roman Reigns steroid accusations, that's, you know, Braun Strowman's weirdly not got a match yet or a program.
He's got Elias.
Of course, that's a big money feud for the biggest show of the year. But he seems to be kept by himself, you know, possibly to be used if things have to get changed around. So yeah, it's interesting. But I really enjoyed this segment, and this confirms it's John Cena Undertaker for me.
Do you know what I think Braun's going to get at WrestleMania? He is going to have a salad steel cage match against Elias, and there are going to be...
Salad?
Yeah, to Bruce Pritchard, Joey. Bruce Pritchard, the salad, solid steel cage.
Oh, okay.
But it's going to be a solid steel cage match, but there are going to be guitars strung up all around it, so it's also a guitar match. So this is going to be wanton destruction and Braun throwing Elias around.
And one double bass.
And one double bass, exactly. That's what that's my bold prediction for Braun at WrestleMania.
Get a full-on string quartet up there. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Next up, we had...
Okay, so I don't know what this was supposed to be. Was it meant to be Bray versus Rhino and Heath Slater? Or just Bray versus Slater or Bray versus Rhino?
You're probably wondering how I got here. This is... it was meant to be Bray Wyatt versus Heath Slater.
Okay.
But they didn't really make a thing of that. It didn't matter because Bray Wyatt just came in, beat up Slater, beat up Rhino, and then he blamed Matt Hardy for making him do this and challenged him to another match.
This feud must continue.
The Great War is far from over.
Mm-hmm. It's just getting started.
Oh my god! Like, I don't know why they keep running dead programs into the ground. It's obviously not connecting. It's obviously not getting over. Why continue with it?
Well, I sound like I'm defending WWE here, and I'm not. But I'm wondering if, from their perspective, if they sat down and were like, "This feud isn't working," but if we just stop this feud, what are we going to do with Bray and what are we going to do with Matt? Like, what program do you put them in if they're not together?
Take them off TV. Do like something creative and not lazy and inventive. Skits outside of matches. They don't have to be wrestling.
But what programs do you put them in? Like, who are you feuding Matt with if not with Bray?
I don't know. But like, I haven't thought about it. I'm sure someone whose full-time job it is to come up with storylines for WWE can come up with one other feud for both of those men.
You'd think, wouldn't you?
If not, just maybe a just character pieces where they don't have to feud with anyone. They just do skits by themselves. Breezango aren't feuding with anyone. They're one of the most engaging things with Fashion Files.
Yeah, but that's not on TV.
But it should be on TV. I saw a can't remember who tweeted it, but it was Gil Anderson, Mike Rome, you know, the backstage interviewer guy.
Not Tom Phillips.
Not Todd, no. Bailey, and they were just talking, and then Broken Matt came in from out of nowhere and just started cutting a promo on the camera, seemingly organically, like he'd just seen that they were filming something on Bray Wyatt. And it was just Matt doing what Matt does. And I thought, oh my God, this is what I like about Matt Hardy. And Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows were hilarious behind him. Like Matt Hardy was saying, and it's going to be delightful, as he does. Mm. And then you can hear Carl Anderson from behind him chuck in some super as well for me. Brilliant stuff. Like, put them with Galanda. I don't know. There's so many things you could do. Make them a tag team. There you go.
That was going to be my answer, was make them a tag team. That's what I wish they'd done all along, was put them together as this odd couple tag team.
So, now we get on to the good stuff. This was really, really good. The Miz came out and he said in 62 days he will become the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time. I believe that's in terms of combined reigns.
Well, it would be, because the Honky Tonk Man currently holds like the longest
single reign. Yeah. And Miz cut a great promo. So much fire. He was talking about how he doesn't have any merchandise, how he should be main event in WrestleMania. Like, even though he shouldn't be main event in WrestleMania, you know, he's not at that star level, I want everyone to be saying, I'm the best. I'm the best. I should be at the top. Like, that's how... And you should have all those egos clashing. And then you decide who's the best by having matches.
And it spun off from a comment that he made on Twitter on Sunday when he was driving into Las Vegas, or it might have been on Saturday, when he was driving into Las Vegas. And the big poster for Elimination Chamber didn't feature The Miz. In fact, actually, someone tweeted me like a poster from the event that had Dean Ambrose on the poster. Like, but like, then they were like, it's a bit misleading, isn't it? Because Ambrose is on the poster. And I was like, it's probably just an old promotional image. But that does raise the question, why not use a new promotional image?
Why not bring in Brock Lesnar?
But The Miz was like, what do I have to do to get on the poster? Mm. And that money line was just like, where's my merchandise? Go to the merchandise store and see if you can see one.
Yeah. I never really thought about it. You don't see any Miz merchandise.
It was so great. And I think he's a great promo anyway. Mm. You and I have said in the past that it's a great promo, but it never makes you invest in his matches. But this one actually did, because this is where he was talking about how, like, I've done this, I'm the A-lister, I've got my own TV show, I've got this beautiful pregnant wife at home. And then he said, so I asked Kurt Angle what I'm going to have at WrestleMania. And he said that I might have a match. Mm. Might. And then he goes on this tirade about might. I'm the Intercontinental Champion. Oh, it's wonderful. It really got me invested in him.
He's a unique one. Because this is, you know, he's a great performer. I think we can all agree on that. But what actually, is this, to me, this was a babyface promo. This is someone I get excited for because they're showing so much passion and fire about something they love. So, which is himself. But this didn't come off as a heel promo for me. I thought it was great. Shades of grey. This is a good thing.
I liked it.
But then, even better, Monday Night Rollins came out.
How hot is Rollins at the moment?
Oh, like, he's so hot right now.
He's so hot right now.
Oh my God, look, he is on fire.
That Hansel's so hot.
Burn
right
it
now.
Down.
But, like, the crowd was so into Rollins. Mm. It's like a massive pop when he came out.
I didn't think he did. Obviously, he was in the chamber for a long time, but it didn't feel as big as the Raw episode leading into it. Here, it felt like chamber didn't happen. It was straight from Raw into Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so good. And they had a really good match. I love this match.
Great.
This is awesome chant going at one point from the crowd. Loads of near falls. I just... That superplex into the
Falcon Arrow.
I was watching it in a replay, and I thought, to land on your back from the top turnbuckle, then to roll over and pick him. My God, he's talented.
He's very, very good.
And then the cherry on top, he takes out the Miztourage with a dive, which, you know, I think he overdoes the dives, but that was a cool dive. A huge frog splash. When Miz goes down and he's two thirds of the way across the ring, I thought, no, you're going to the wrong turnbuckle there, mate.
Yeah.
But he hits this incredible frog splash, and the crowd are going crazy, and he won with the frog splash, which is awesome because I love it when people have many different moves they can win with.
Absolutely.
I love this match. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
Yeah. But this then set up my overall feelings of Raw, which was a lot of things were a tale of two halves. Love the Alexa Bliss promo. Did not like the resulting tag match. Really liked the start of the Rousey segment. Did not like the end of the Rousey segment. Loved this match. Did not like what followed it. which was, and I kind of like this bit here, which when as Seth Rollins is celebrating, this is WWE's new thing now, is that the next match has to start, so the other person has to come out during the other person's celebration.
I like it.
I like it too. It's their new thing they like to do.
Chop blocks.
Finn Balor comes out doing his big full entrance, and he's just got this smarmy look on his face because Seth Rollins had been told that he might be in the Intercontinental Championship match. Turns out that Finn Balor has also told that he might be in there, so Balor comes out all smug. Rollins looks so pissed off because he's like, you mother effer, like, this is my moment. I won the match and you've just come out here for seemingly no reason. And then Balor has a match with Miz. This is where I started to dislike the segment, because A, why didn't you bring Gil Anderson with you? And B, Finn Balor sold for the entire match. I'm like, Miz just went through this grueling ordeal. I know someone said to me, it was like, Miz Taraj attacked him. I was like, barely attacked him. It's not like he had five skull-crushing finales hits on him. Curtis Axel hit one move. It's not like there was this epic beatdown. And yet Balor just sold for the whole thing. And I'm just like, it made Balor look like a complete chump.
Yeah.
Especially after that incredible moment where he made his entrance during Rollins' celebration. Now he just looks like a chump that can't beat The Miz, even though The Miz is... It was the opposite of John Cena versus Seth Rollins last week, where Cena was the fresh man and Seth Rollins, who had the grueling match, was the weak one. And I suppose when you put the heel in Miz's position, then it doesn't really... It's psychology-wise, it kind of goes off a little bit.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It was... From this great Rollins-Balor, or the Rollins-Miz match, and then that great Rollins-Balor stare down, which had so much context that I kind of forgot about with the Universal Championship match back at all those SummerSlams ago. And then it just transitioned into this psychologically backwards match of the heel having wrestled not just like a 5-minute, 10-minute easy thing, but a 20-25 minute competitive match with Rollins that he lost, that Miz lost, and then he has to face Balor. And like you said, it was a paltry beatdown from the Miztourage. So, yeah, it didn't help. It made Balor look like an absolute gimp, I thought. The crowd reactions showed it, because they were not into this.
I've written here, Miz seems fresher than Balor. Because Miz was like on his feet and he was doing moves, and he looked like he hadn't been through a match, because he can't sell the match because he has to be on offense. It really didn't work for me. What did work for me, though, is that I don't often pay attention to these things. But you know at the bar when they do like upcoming shows?
Sure.
Like, do like, hey, SmackDown is here, then on Wednesday we're going to be here, then Thursday, then, you know, NXT. One of the shows was emanating from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Kalamazoo.
I didn't really see a lot of the rest of this match because I was Googling Kalamazoo.
It's a fun word to say. It's a fun word to see.
That's what I thought. I was like, Kalamazoo, and I was like, have I made this up? Did I, like, because I watched the show quite early in the morning. Maybe my cup of tea hadn't really kicked in. I was like, maybe it wasn't called Kalamazoo. I'm just going to Google whether or not that was a real place. Turns out it is.
Any Kalamazoo facts?
No, I was just amazed by the name. But what a wonderful... If we have any viewers out there in Kalamazoo, you possibly live in the coolest city name ever.
All you Kalamazoonians.
Kalamazoonians?
How do you say it again?
Kalamazonians.
Kalamazaniacs.
Kalamazaniacs. Like, that's going to be our tag team.
So, maybe. So Rollins, after this, his interview backstage, he's watching the monitor at a stupid angle, and he says he wants Miz at WrestleMania for the IC title.
I don't think we said Balor won.
Oh, yeah. Who cares? So it looks like it's going to be this three-way between them, which we kind of thought. Which, man, if Miz is that many days... WrestleMania's like, what, 30-something days away? Miz needs another 10 on top of that, I think, to be this longest reigning champion. So we'll see.
Well, he's got a few more reigns in him yet. At one point in this match, Coach said that what he likes about the Miz is that he doesn't complain about things. And Michael Cole was like, did you miss the promo that he said at the start of this match?
Come on, Coach.
Come on, Coachman.
Next up was the Reigns-Lesnar segment, or just the Reigns segment, as it turned out to be. So we've already done that.
Love that.
We had a Braun Strowman backstage promo with some text on the screen and some music puns. So he's going to make a symphony of destruction against Elias. It's going to be a smash hit.
Yeah. Corey Graves absolutely loved this. Someone tweeted me that I hadn't picked up, but Corey Graves often makes references to Pantera when talking about Braun Strowman. And now Braun Strowman's there making references to Megadeth, And Corey Graves even used the lyrics from Megadeth's Symphony of Destruction during his match.
Corey Graves is good.
Yeah.
Then we had the same Black History Month promo that I've seen about 20 times already.
Yeah, they do it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's over now, right?
No, well, there was stuff on SmackDown.
Yeah, but next month.
Next month,
no more of the same promo, which is
yes.
fun. The Bar beating Titus Worldwide in a randomly thrown together 2 out of 3 Falls match. What's that word?
Lads.
Is that hell?
Yes.
So Luke has just read an effing L, lads.
Just like, when the Bar came out and then it was Titus Worldwide, I literally threw my head back and I was like, effing L, lads. Mm. Like, are we doing this again? And then it turns out it's a 2 out of 3 Falls match.
We're doing it 3 times. Well, 2 times in the end.
Yeah.
The story behind this was after the Bar successfully retained at the Chamber, Titus Worldwide called him out on Twitter and said, you know, well, we've beaten you 3 times, or we've beaten you 2 times already. So then we made a 2 out of 3 Falls match. And yeah, it was fun.
It was a match.
Yeah, I quite liked Sheamus's bro kick right out of the gate. Yeah. That was the first pin over with.
And, actually,
and the way they celebrated.
I was about to say, that was the best thing in the match, was them celebrating like they just won the World Cup.
Sheamus and Cesaro looked like they were having fun here.
Oh, God, it was wonderful. Like, they're broken. They were just standing up, hugging each other. It was really, really great. But the match was, it was good fun.
Mm.
Yeah.
I thought Apollo looked really good. I thought he did some just crazily impressive stuff.
Yeah.
That stand-in shooting star that he does is just incredible. But the Bar won a clean sweep.
Yes, that's the 2 out of 3 4 matches we've had this year. Both have been clean sweeps. Mm. Got to wonder if I think someone might tweet me this, actually, that the WWE are going to have a 2 out of 3 falls match at WrestleMania, trying to build you up to expect it to go the clean sweep again, and that's where they pull out the shock.
Potentially.
Third fall.
Why are they all tag teams, though? I don't know. Mm. Yeah. So the Bar cut a promo afterwards saying, we've beaten everyone there is, which I don't know where they go from here. Obviously, there's the Revival, there's Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. That none of them are like real. They're all kind of on the heel spectrum of things.
My prediction: Authors of Pain.
It's a bit too. Don't usually call up teams this close to Mania.
I agree they don't. But the way that this promo was structured was that, like, we've beaten every single team there is. So, like, the way they set this promo up was that there are no other challenges for them, which means they have to do a debut in order to be a new team for them to be. So, either it's Authors of Pain or maybe even War Machine.
Maybe.
Because War Machine aren't in the Dusty Tag Team Classic.
That is interesting. I think we'll be disappointed, and it's someone who's already on Raw.
Yeah, probably.
Or the Hardys, you know, don't know. But I guess they beat them last year.
Matt and Bray.
Oh, I hope so. next up, Jarius JJ Robertson was revealed as the recipient of the Warrior Award. What a badass that kid is.
What a badass indeed.
You've seen his thing with The Miz.
Yeah.
It makes me smile so much. Braun Strowman versus Elias was next. Braun Strowman won via DQ. Elias is singing a song because they're in LA. And he's singing about... Or Anaheim, wasn't it?
Anaheim, California.
Yeah, California. Yeah. And he's singing a song about noise pollution and all that stuff. And he just takes a swipe at Corey Graves, saying, like, everything out of Corey Graves' mouth.
So good.
And then Corey just says, quick as a whip on commentary, I'll never stop talking again. Just Corey Graves is...
Yeah, I mean...
He's cool, but his hair is ridiculous.
I was about to say, I wish he hadn't dyed his hair blonde, because it's not 1991 and you are not Vanilla Rice, but hey, I like him.
It's getting taller.
It is! On SmackDown, I couldn't
believe...
It was so tall on SmackDown!
I'm glad you thought this.
It was ginormous!
It was taller on SmackDown than it was on Raw.
It really was.
They're only a day apart. Weird.
It was ginormous.
So Booker T, I reread that quote, you know, when he challenged him.
Oh, yeah?
Next time I see him, you see that little bouffant hairdo of his? I'm going to rough it up for him. Maybe he meant, like, rough it up is ghetto speak for making it nice and pointier.
Maybe.
So we don't know. Elias sung his song again, and then Braun came out, interrupting the song, beat Elias up a lot. Elias got a fire extinguisher out from underneath the ring and sprayed it in Braun's eyes.
Yeah, he eventually got there.
Yeah. Which was cool. Braun was blinded, but he was still kind of looking for Elias, and he chased him up the ramp, got Elias, was going to slam him through the table at one point. That didn't work. And then they went to the back, And a lot of people called me out on my Raw review for not pointing out that epic moment when a limo pulled up and Braun was there and Braun walked off and the camera zoomed in on the limo like, ooh, what's going to happen? Stephanie and Triple H were in it.
Well, I was going to say, I would have called you out as well. It was a mystery limo with no payoff.
I think it was quite clear it was Stephanie and Triple H.
Was it? Is it clear it was?
Yeah.
We didn't see anyone. I was like expecting like Vince McMahon to come out or something like that. Like, it's a mystery limo.
So I think it was just sloppily done. Okay. So I'm pretty sure it was meant to be Stephanie and Triple H because, you know, they come out in the next segment. It's how you get people to stay after the break. Why would it be Vince McMahon? No one mentions it on commentary. He doesn't appear in the next segment.
I thought it might be someone like me. But when you said it's Triple H and Stephanie, I never put those two together because I figured that Trips and Steph had been there all the time. Because they have these meetings.
They turn up at the end of the show. But you know that.
But they have their meetings with Kurt. And like they always talk about these meetings that they have with Kurt.
Call a phone, Skype it.
Yes, it's 2018, man.
Yeah,
technology exists.
I think this was just a case of bad visual storytelling rather than any secret tease. But what a missed opportunity. Braun's there, blinded. Elias is running away out the building into the night. And this limo pulls up. Why not have Triple H get out of the limo and Braun's there? They haven't seen each other since Survivor Series when they had that showdown. Triple H, like, Braun can't really see. Triple H just gets back into the limo until Braun leaves.
Or
I thought it was a real missed opportunity to get everyone over more.
Or gimmick the limo and have Braun smash a window. And pure frustration and anger that Elias has run away, that he just smashes a car window. And then you have, oh my God, he just smashed a car window with his bare hand. I mean, Goldberg...
Flip it.
Obviously,
you've got to flip it.
I mean, that's Braun's MO, really, isn't it? It's flipping stuff.
Yeah, he's been really good in the property business. Buy a property, do it up, flip it for more. Yes.
Yeah.
Then the main event, which was badly set up by that limo, but the whole night did keep on saying Triple H and Stephanie are going to be here for the main event with Ronda Rousey. It was Stephanie McMahon and Triple H coming out, and they did... We haven't talked about this. How many bloody Elimination Chamber recaps were there?
Oof, I mean, there was 8 minutes worth at the start of the show. Eight minutes worth of recaps.
And then another one here, at least three others in the rest of the show.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're probably looking at about 20, 25 minutes of Elimination Chamber recaps in what, after commercial breaks are taken out, is about 2 hours 10 of a show.
But I kind of get it. Because Ronda is your big thing at the moment. You're trying to hype up the fact that Ronda's going to be in the third hour of the show and she's going to be doing a showdown with Triple H and Stephanie. You've got to remember that not everyone is like you and I on people watching the show that watch the whole 3 hours. There are people who watch an hour here, an hour there, an hour there. They just tune in for the second hour. And then they didn't see the promo at the start. So that you have to do it again in the second hour to try and capture those people that didn't see it the first time around. I kind of get it, but you're right. It is overkill.
It was overdone, yeah. So Stephanie then said Kurt was delirious from double pneumonia.
Mm.
Double pneumonia. It's crazy.
It's crazy, man.
And
Beast from the East is getting everyone.
Yeah, but so they said Kurt's going to come out to apologise, but instead out came badass Ronda, who looked badass.
Full of piss and vinegar was Ronda Rousey.
Great.
It was great.
Stormed down to the ring, got in, and Triple H and Stephanie are kind of backing off. Kurt runs down like, whoa, 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 Ronda, don't beat anyone up. It's me. I'm sorry. I need this job. And when he said that, I was just, this isn't the way I would have done this storyline. And it just stinks of the McMahons and the Authority emasculating their Raw GMs. It's exactly the same thing happened with Mick Foley. Just patronising him, undermining him. And not from a way that tells an engaging story where you tell the story of someone just being beaten down and then they rise up. It's just... No, you're making them look like a worthless idiot.
Pretty much.
That's what they've done to Kurt. It's what they did to Mick Foley.
Mm-hmm.
Something needs to change with that quick.
Well, I imagine that after this segment, because as I said, I liked the start of this segment. I did not like the second half of it. Although I did like, I thought Ronda's line of, I'm just going to take that arm and rip it out of its socket. Like that, just have
to
her.
Stephanie.
Just have her say, like, those lines. Mm. Just have her just cut very, very small promos. and just say those one or two lines, because that's when she's at her best. But I'd imagine now after this, with Kurt being sucker punched by Triple H, we're going to, perhaps I'm just being naive here and optimistic, we're going to see a different Kurt next week. We're going to see the Kurt angle of next week that should be like, hey, like, they keep trying to mess with me, I'm now going to mess back.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so as well, because Kurt Angle played ball with the authority here today. He admitted that he lied, doing big air quotes for podcast listeners. And so he's like, last week you asked me to lie, I lied for you, and my reward for that was being punched in the face. So do you know what? To hell with you, to hell with this job. And build that and make Kurt Angle this badass who's alongside badass Ronda Rousey, so they can be a badass tag team for badass WrestleMania.
Yeah, so Ronda, being a badass, demanded an apology from Steph.
Oh, it was great.
And Steph, there's two ways you can read this. Steph, like, started off in her apology, storming up to Ronda, starting off really big and shouty, but then kind of seemed to genuinely get more scared as she was talking and withered. So you could read it like that, or you could read it that it was a completely disingenuous apology and she didn't mean any of it.
Yeah.
I thought it was really well done from Stephanie.
Yeah,
the way she went into the apology so forcefully.
Yeah, it works both ways, and I like that.
But then when they were leaving the ring, Triple H just clocked Kurt Angle from out of nowhere and walked off.
Yeah, just punched him straight in the face.
Which was so you didn't like that. Why didn't you like the second half?
Because it felt like a very flat ending. Because Triple H's punch really did come out of nowhere. It was almost like Triple H punched him as he was exiting the ring. Like, literally, like, through the ropes, boof, like that.
Yeah, that's
and
what it was.
But it came out of nowhere. Kurt went down like a sack of spuds. Ronda didn't, like, get fired up and go after them. So, like, the heels sort of stood tall once again, I suppose.
Yeah.
And that, to me, coupled with the Elimination Chamber ending with Stephanie slapping Ronda, it just, again, like, I think we need that next week. We need them to get their own on Trips and Steph in order for this to really start to find its feet. So I loved the first half, but that the ending was a bit flat. The Wrestle Ramble will be right back after these short messages. This episode of the Wrestle Ramble is brought to you in part by Patreon. For just $5 a month, you will get access to the Wrestle Ramble Extra, a bonus monthly podcast where Ollie and I review pay-per-views from wrestling's past. Last month we reviewed Wrestle Kingdom 10, and this month's show will be No Way Out 2004, a true feel-good pay-per-view where Eddie Guerrero won the WWE Championship. And we have just announced that $10 plus backers will get access to a brand new exclusive Patreon podcast, Ramble Club, where Ollie and I will review NXT, Ring of Honor, New Japan, and all that comes in between. We've revamped our entire Patreon reward system, so head over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk for more information and support WrestleTalk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a SmackDown review, Maggle. I love it. We got us a flying Uso.
SmackDown's okay again.
It's one week. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. It's just 1 week.
Thanks, Road Dogg. You're the best, man. It's all down to you. SmackDown kicked off with free agent John Cena turning up and as the new latest member of the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, so I didn't actually notice this. I think I was too busy making notes. But the Bludgeon Brothers graphic...
Well, I was also making notes, you know, John Cena walks out, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I saw this, you know, because some people have custom little name bars.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that didn't look, that was like a weird brownie colour that had sharp edges. What's going on there? So I played it back, and it's Bludgeon Brothers.
Wow.
It's Bludgeon Brothers.
Interesting.
Mm.
I'm sure, just a mistake. I'm sure I'll get picked up on that for not mentioning it in my review.
Mm. There will be... Oh, we didn't talk about the guy who got in the shot for Ronda Rousey's segment.
Oh, yeah, poor lad. I mean, yeah. Oh, we shouldn't really make fun of him because he's probably unemployed now.
Yes, yeah, he's probably fired immediately.
Yeah.
So then I've got a note about Corey Graves' hair looking more ridiculous every time I see
so
it.
So amazing.
Then, yeah, Cena just cut a promo in the ring about how he's going to do whatever it takes to get to his WrestleMania match. And he wants to be added to the Fatal 5-Way. He says, I'll do whatever it takes to get added to the Fatal 5-Way. I've written, usually it's just turning up.
Well, I was going to say, so John Cena on Monday announced that he was going over to SmackDown for an opportunity to get to WrestleMania. He showed up on SmackDown, he got inserted into the main event, and now he's fighting for the WWE Championship. On the space of 2 hours, I would say, successful move there, John.
Yeah.
This was a really smart plan.
Do you think he thought SmackDown, that is a show that's run by warring idiots at the moment. I can easily manipulate them into this.
Well, I mean, Raw's being run by warring idiots as well, I suppose.
I guess so, but it's not so much of a...
Steph and Trips aren't idiots, though, are they? They're the smartest people.
Curden, yeah.
Kurt's the idiot.
Good point.
What a doofus he is.
So Shane McMahon comes out. What's up, Anaheim? And, oh, I don't know where they were.
And it was in... I think they were in California this time. Either way, he was...
Enter your hometown here.
He was sweating like a madman.
Mm-hmm. And he had pointy nipples.
That I didn't notice.
He had pointy nipples.
I only notice his glistening forehead.
Well, you now can look at his erect areola points. I'm trying to think of another word for nipples.
So you didn't have to say nipple again.
Man teats.
I wonder...
Man points.
I mean, I don't want to go on record here, but this might be the most we've ever said the word nipple on this show.
Nipple, nipple, nipple. So, yes, Shane McMahon comes out. There's a loud Let's Go Cena, Cena sucks chant. John Cena sort of reacts to those, you know, which is nice to interact with the crowd. Says, well, you know, half the people want to see me in it and half the people want to see me lose, so you should probably book it, right? And Shane McMahon... Then there was some Rusev Day chants.
Yeah, duly noted.
Duly noted.
Shane McMahon, like, you're right there as well, that John Cena sort of, like, stops to interact with the crowd and add that line in. But Shane McMahon, boom, straight back to the script. I've got some stuff to say, John. I've learned this. And I'm going to say it.
He says that John would be a 17-time world champion if he won at Fastlane. And that was the first time I've been like, oh, no. We're not getting AJ at Nakamura.
Well, they teased it in the show. And I did think to myself, because I was like, well, I mean, it's AJ and Nakamura, right? Like, every time I kept saying it to myself. And then they did that tease, and I was like, well, I mean, it might be Cena Nakamura, you know? Because WWE have they've got records of being like, well, we don't think AJ's a champion enough. Put it on John Cena quickly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's happened before.
AJ can get a bigger match with Shane McMahon.
Yeah. Put him back with Kevin Owens.
Mm. It was
a fine opening segment. Like, I would say that, I mean, Cena hasn't been on SmackDown since August, despite the fact that he was fighting for them at SummerSlam,
Survivor Series
in November. And it was kind of nice to see a freshish face
open up
the show. You know, I know it's John Cena and he's been opening up shows now for 20 years, but it was nice.
Yeah, and Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan were there as always.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan was the one who came out and said, well, if you want the Fastlane match, you've got to beat AJ Styles in the main event, which I must admit, I was immediately excited for.
Absolutely.
I always love it when those two wrestle.
Yeah.
So Baron Corbin was up next, taking on Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens on commentary.
Kevin Owens on commentary, which Shane was not happy about. They were backstage, shown twice during the match, watching the action on a screen. Shane went off and got some popcorn at one point.
Right, so Shane's there having a bit of a whinge that, like, he's like, I can't believe you put Kevin Owens out there, who's blatantly going to interfere in this match, because that's what they do. You're all buddy-buddy. Then he goes away and gets popcorn, comes back with this massive smug look on his face. And then in the match, Dolph Ziggler jumped over the barricade and super-kicked Kevin Owens so hard in the head, I'm pretty sure he swore loudly.
Yeah.
Because, like, the audio just cut out for about 5 seconds. And then Zayn got distracted and Baron Corbin hit the End of Days and won. And it cuts backstage and Shane McMahon's still got this smug look on his face. I was like, what are you so smug about? Like, did he orchestrate the Ziggler thing?
I didn't think of that until you just said it. Shane is coming off like such an unlikable, arrogant presence.
He's so unlikable.
And Daniel Bryan, even though I think Daniel Bryan's trying to be unlikable. You know, he's just giving short answers. Can I go home now? I want to be with my wife and child. But I'm like, I still love you so much, Daniel Bryan. You're impossible to dislike. Even when you're doing the yes, you know, the yes chant was originally to annoy people.
Yeah.
But Shane McMahon is...
And especially, like you say, there's like, can I go home early? He's got really good reasons. Yeah, go home, be with your wife and kid. You're on the road all the time. Go home with you, being your wife and kid. That's a lovely thing to do.
Well,
what a nice family man.
He only does Tuesdays, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, but you know, in WWE world, in kayfabe, they're on the road all the time, aren't they? Even managers and stuff.
I just thought this was all kind of lame. Although I did like Owens' selling of, maybe it was legit, because he just crumples off the chair like he's like, knocked out.
Well, he got kicked in headphones, basically.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Probably really hurt.
Like here.
Yeah. Oh.
Oof. Although these are quite nice and cushioned.
Yeah, but when we
it's gonna hurt. What am I talking about?
I was gonna say, when we do long records, you take these headphones off and go like, oh, my ears.
Ziggler took out Corbin afterwards and then celebrated, a baby face celebrated with a record scratch and then his music.
He's not a baby face.
What?
He's not a baby face. He's a heel. He attacked AJ at the end of the night. At least I think
but he saved AJ. He's on the cusp. Whatever he is, get rid of the record scratch, especially when he's not coming out. Oh, that record scratch is doing my head
it's
in.
It's such an annoying sound as well. But there was a really funny moment from Byron, and it was perfectly timed as well, because Kevin Owens throughout the entire match is just picking on Byron and being like, "I'm not even listening to you, Byron. I'm not going to acknowledge any of the questions that you've got to say. I'm not even going to acknowledge your presence here." And then just before Ziggler jumped over the barricade, Byron Saxton said like, "Hey, Kevin, are you all right?" Boom, super kick to the head, goes down, and Byron goes, "It's not okay now." Good one, Byron.
Great, Byron. Great stuff, Byron. Afterwards, Sami is angry, walking around backstage. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn still don't feel like they're together.
Oh, no,
they?
I felt like it was back to square one again, that they were just the best friends.
I felt like Kevin Owens was kind of apprehensive on commentary, and afterwards, Sami Zayn was blaming him when they're walking around backstage. And they see Shane, and they're angry, and Shane's like, yep.
Yeah, Shane said that, hey, if you catch up with Daniel Bryan, you can go and have dinner for him, because Bree's probably got it ready for you, suggesting that they always have dinner together because they're all best mates and that. Shane's a dick.
Yeah, he's not coming off as likable in the slightest.
No.
Next up.
Ruby Riott and Naomi had a match. I've got one note here. Riott wins.
Mm.
And Saxton called Ruby a serious threat, which I respectfully disagree.
I like Ruby. I like her wrestling. I like her look. I like her promos. But, you know, it's off the boil.
Yeah.
Whatever they had when they debuted, which was all already kind of dead in the water because they debuted the night after they did the exact same thing on Raw with Absolution. It's just now they've been flattened out into a completely one-dimensional storyline for about a month or two now.
It's a real shame.
In fact, they've never really had a proper story since debuting in November, end of November, because it was after Survivor Series. And why are Charlotte and Becky Lynch getting full entrances for a Naomi singles match?
Because WWE is all about entrances and finishes. That's what you pay to see. You pay to see the people do the entrances.
Oh, and it was so... This match was so orchestrated when they... You know, Naomi and Ruby are good workers, but the way it was laid out was horrid, where there was a bit right at the start where Naomi was with Charlotte and Becky Lynch and the Riot Squad are over here, and they walked over to each other and they had this really lame face-off commercial, you know, like 10 minutes before it happened. I could see this coming a mile away. Commercial break.
Just for the record, Ollie started off this review by saying that SmackDown's good again.
But it gets good.
It gets good. I know.
Carmella's managing the social media lounge as well backstage. So that counts for anything.
Is there a meme going around about pancakes and waffles? Because when I did the... on the WrestleTalk News, sometimes I say, ask me a question. If it's in the first 15 minutes, I'll try and answer it. I got a lot of questions that were asking if I like pancakes or waffles. And I was like, huh, that's an odd question to see. Maybe it's a meme that I just don't understand. Maybe it's just... randomly
a sexual thing,
or it's a sexual thing. Carmilla mentioned it here.
Really?
She said, do I like pancakes or waffles? And I was like, oh, is it, maybe it is a meme that I just don't understand.
Do you
like,
want to do that thing that you hate that I sometimes want to do where I don't do pancakes or waffles?
I googled it and I couldn't find
there's a difference between, I thought that was a meme thing, there's nothing recent.
No, okay. It
just seems to be a hot button topic.
There you go. Maybe that's what it is.
A lot of listicles. 51 reasons pancakes are better than waffles.
51 reasons.
I love a listicle.
Although, in fairness, though, that is from Pancake God. So I feel like they are very much...
That is a bias report.
That's a bias report.
What are just some of these reasons? When do you ever see stacked waffles? Never. But like... We need more context there. Actually, maybe that's a bad thing.
Stacked waffles, I've seen them right there.
The picture at the top.
The article is of stacked waffles.
This is from the Pancake God. What is that age-old debate?
And it really was recent. It was February 7th.
Maybe this is a... Maybe the whole thing is off this rubbish article. everyone has a pan, a waffle iron. That's what I thought. Ball up pancakes and you have some tasty pancake spheres.
Right, anyway, back to SmackDown Live. I will say there was one really nice spot during this Ruby Riott-Naomi match, which is when Ruby goes for a kick, Naomi ducks, Naomi goes for a kick and Ruby ducks, and they both just kick each other in the head.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
That was a nice spot. But aside from that, the match was absolutely nothing.
Yeah, Ruby won with a Riott kick. Who cares?
Yeah, poor Ruby.
Fashion Files kind of backstage next.
I got super excited. The Fashion Files were back on TV for a brief moment just to plug someone else's show. And then some lad walked in who I didn't recognise. Turns out it's Josh Duhamel.
Who?
Is, I believe, in the steroid thing, right?
Yes! With Reigns. Like the three people who have been named are Roman Reigns, you know, alleged. Roman Reigns, Mark Wahlberg, and Josh Duhamel.
And Ronda's working with Marky Mark at the moment. It's all connected.
But seriously, what a bizarre thing. Like, what a strange coincidence. I'm sure this was planned way in advance because Josh Duhamel has this show that I've never heard of called Unsolved.
But it sounds like it's
a long-running thing.
I mean, it sounds like it's a fictionalised show, but about the murders of Biggie and Tupac, which if it is, I'm quite into that. That sounds cool. I'd watch that show.
This played into quite a very funny joke where they were talking about Big E being Big E Smalls, but Big E from the New Day were behind him, and that was funny. And then, you know, Bree Zango are just... Their comic delivery and timing is great. But a joke so obvious and simple as, oh, we thought you were a real detective because you play a detective on a show on telly, and now we're sad that you're not a real detective. That, you know, that's a day one joke.
Yes.
Day one-ish. Day one-ish. Whatever.
Day one is H.
And they made it so funny.
They're very good.
They were so funny.
Here's a surprise. The Fashion Files are great.
Fandango, Tyler Breeze is funny.
Yeah.
Fandango in particular, God, he is. They need to. He's untapped. They could do so much more with him.
I mean, the lads at Gorilla Position once called him the next CM Punk. I wouldn't go that far, but there is a lot of untapped potential in there.
But we go from that backstage thing.
How good was this? Yes. This was great.
The New Day showing their comedic side backstage, and their comedic side in the first, I would say, third of this or half of this segment.
Yeah.
When they came out for a live in ring one, and they cut a fun, normal New Day promo.
Yeah.
Which, and they had letters up on the screen during the entrance. They hyped the Usos match at Fastlane, and then out came the Usos, who, surprise, surprise, cut an incredible promo.
Man alive, this promo ruled. And I was there thinking, like, huh, I wonder if Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin are going to show up, considering they got screwed 2 weeks in a row out of this championship opportunity. Now I'm saying it. Title match. I'm going to correct myself. But do you know what? I'm kind of glad they didn't, because this promo was just so great. The Usos carry so much passion in their promos. And they say, you know, we've been a team for 9 years in the WWE. We've never had a WrestleMania match on the main card, because they've been on the pre-show quite a couple of times. So anytime that Bradshaw says on those shows, we're like, I think it's a good thing that you get on the pre-show, because everyone gets to see you then. Wrestlers don't like it, apparently, because the Usos were very upset that they've not been on the main card.
Probably won't get on the DVD, and then you'll leave the company.
it was just a great promo. And then it got even better, because Big E grabs the microphone, he drops the comedy, and just gets right up in their face about how they're not a comedy team. It's like, yeah, we do goofy stuff, but we're the longest reigning tag champs. We've done this, we've done that. We were hosting WrestleMania 31 while you were sat in catering. Oh, there was just so many money lines in there. And then I have a feeling you might disagree here. At the apex, just when this is getting great, Bludgeon Brothers music hits and the mood changes. And it goes from this like really intense thing, and you're like, oh, damn, the Bludgeon Brothers are here now. And, you know, S-word's about to get real. And they just walk down to the ring and they walk with such purpose. And then they do what they don't usually do, which is, like, they don't interact with these other tag teams. They just want to show off their dominance against jobbers. They're not bothered about these other teams. Not just yet. They just want to... they're trying to scare everyone. And then they got into the ring and everyone just scarpered because they don't want to mess with the Bludgeon Brothers. And I thought it was a wicked tonal shift. Every single thing in this, from the comedy at the start to the Usos to Big E's promo to the Bludgeon Brothers, I thought this segment was a home run.
You're totally right. I didn't hate the Bludgeon Brothers coming out. I just wouldn't have done it, I don't think, because you had this wonderful feeling of something real and something genuine. And that's your next match, isn't it? It's the Usos versus New Day. A match that has been done a lot, and I wasn't particularly interested in seeing again, even though I know it's going to be a great match. I feel like, you know, we've been there. But in the from that incredible Usos to Big E promo, which was just incredible, really, really good, and the great line about New Day having to work from the bottom, we didn't have our daddies helping us out.
Such a great line.
And it was, you know, it felt so real, and all of a sudden I've gone, my expectation from this match has shot through the roof, and I really want to see it, and it feels like this is an all-time classic feud. And they just did this in a couple of minutes of promo time. Masterfully done. So when the Bludgeon Brothers came out, that did puncture that little bubble of realness for me pro wrestling goofiness.
Yeah, I get that.
But, you know, I didn't hate it because it is also long-term booking, and I'm always a fan of that. But I personally, my personal taste would have been to leave it at just that promo.
Yeah, and I get that, and I think you're right. But I think what I really liked about it is it sets up that scene of just like, so the Usos and the New Day are fighting over the belts, but whoever wins that then has to face the Bludgeon Brothers. And it's almost like the brothers just came out to let them know, hey, whoever wins, you lose, because you're facing us next. And I really like that.
And they brought the hammers into the ring.
That's the
first time. Oh, man.
They have got to get those hammers over as like sledgehammer levels of dangerous. Otherwise, they'll just become goofy nonsense.
They're made of fiberglass, mate.
Well, of course they are.
Rusev
and Timmy Mallett.
Aiden English was next backstage with Shane. And, you know, Rusev hasn't been on the show since the Royal Rumble.
You cut Dolph's promo.
Dolph was after this.
Was it?
But first it was, I'm pretty sure, it was Shane McMahon backstage.
I've got it here. Dolph cuts a promo. Bobby Roode cuts a promo. Oh, yeah, and then Aiden English versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Maybe I just didn't take notes on that. Sorry, I do apologise.
So, yeah, Shane said, well, you're not going to have a match tonight, Rusev, even though you didn't say this bit, even though you're the most over thing in the company, probably. Aiden English is going to have the match. And then we had the Dolph Ziggler promo where he kind of calls out Cena with text on screen.
Yeah, his text on screen was very targeted towards Cena. Mm. So, maybe that's Cena's WrestleMania match. It's going to be against Dolph. You want high profile. It's, you want bigger than The Undertaker. Dolph Ziggler, mate.
Who isn't facing Cena? Maybe this is what it's all building up to. Cena doesn't have any matches, and then he has every single match imaginable.
He has his own gauntlet match.
Yes, for the whole of WrestleMania.
He was sat there talking to Vince. He was like, hey, that Seth kid sort of outshone everyone on Monday a couple of weeks ago. I think I should do that at WrestleMania.
Put me over that
way. Yeah, let's put me over.
Bobby Roode next with a promo, which Randy Orton interrupted and said, you know, the US title is the only one that's eluded me in my career. I'm going to go through you to get it.
Yeah, this was a Alan Partridge shrug moment. Mm.
Yeah. Happy Roode sucks.
Yep, certainly does.
Yeah. I'm not engaged with him at all.
And this is why my notes confuse me, because then we had Aiden English versus Shinsuke Nakamura. So it turns out Rusev Day are still heels.
Yeah. Yep. They were so over. Those Rusev Day chants at the beginning were deafening. And Rusev smiling. I love the guy.
He's so great. And then, like, when they showed the backstage thing, it was like earlier today, Shane McMahon spoke with Aiden English. Like, as soon as they appeared on screen, the crowd went, like, they went nuts, because that meant that Rusev was probably going to be on the show, or Rusev Day. Because I think it's not just Rusev, it's the act together that I'd like to think is over. It is very much Rusev, but I'd like to think that both of them are just as popular.
Yeah.
And then they came out and they sang this song about how their town smells. And I'm like, oh, are they? They're still heels. This is very misguided. Mm. Of all the acts to just, let's just turn them babyface. We don't have to do a babyface angle. They're already babyfaces. But they're not. They're heels still.
Yeah, it's easy to keep the sentiment, but not have them trash the hometown. Just sing a song about Nakamura.
Yeah.
Then that gets around it. Have you heard the quote from Stephanie McMahon's appearance on the Lillian Garcia podcast?
I have not, no.
She said the great thing, one of the best things about her father, Vince McMahon, is that he knows what the audience wants.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's not wrong. Mostly.
So this was an okay match.
Yeah, this was
quite enjoyed it.
I really like Aiden English, love Shinsuke Nakamura.
I've missed him.
Yeah, I really have missed him, actually. But that's the brilliant thing of not putting him on TV every week, because you do miss him wrestling. So I think that's actually a positive. And it seems to be setting up. I feel like this match was used to set up Nakamura versus Rusev at Fastlane, because neither man have anything going on. So it's a good little program to tie over Nakamura before WrestleMania. However, I would argue, should have done that weeks ago, mates. We actually could have built a feud around this.
Well, this is the interesting bit, because I thought after Cena's promo on Monday Night Raw that he was going to go over to SmackDown and somehow have a match with Nakamura at Fastlane. I don't know how Nakamura would put up his title shot.
Because he wants to face John Cena.
Yeah, but I hate it when baby faces do that. Oh, yeah. Unless they're forced to do it by a heel authority. Well, maybe that's the way. But then you need a heel to put it up against. So
they've got one in Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
The biggest heel in the company.
I don't know. So when Nakamura walks out of the match after winning, John Cena comes down for the main event and they have a ships passing in the night moment. Mm. And they both point at the sign. And I was like, well, you know, that's okay. Cena's going to lose the main event and he has a match with Nakamura at Fastlane.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he loses that, and then they set up the Undertaker match, the first show after Fastlane. Yeah. That's where I thought it was going. But
no, John Cena won. John Cena beat AJ Styles clean as a sheet in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, but I thought it was okay. What did you take against
I didn't take against it, absolutely not. And it really didn't bother me until someone tweeted me just before we came into record of something that I hadn't actually thought about, which is that in storyline, there is John Cena is so rubbish that he couldn't get any match at Raw because he kept losing every opportunity that he was given because everyone was better than him. So he went over to SmackDown and beat their champion and is now in the main event of their next pay-per-view.
Which is
certainly one way to look at it. I didn't read it like that when I was watching the show. I didn't read it like that when I was writing my review. It was only until you see that other perspective, you're like, oh, actually, that's actually quite a fair shout of looking at it. It might not be the way that I look at it, but it's certainly a fair shout.
Yeah, so I look at it as, although I agree that is a fair way, of Cena getting so obsessed with his WrestleMania match that he kind of self-sabotages and in trying to, because the reason he lost the Seth Rollins match in my eyes is because he was so methodical and slow at the start, because he was obsessed with last going the gauntlet and last in the distance. But here, I felt Cena has now changed his wrestling style to fit with that Mania obsession. Like, he was working kind of heel almost at times, being really methodical, less showboating, although I wrote less showboating, and then he literally did a five-knuckle shuffle with a big grin. And I was, well, don't do that.
Yeah, delete that note.
But then they had a really good match, I thought. But where it's okay for me is there was a spot, I think, so Cena hit the AA and he did the roll through to hit a second AA, but AJ got out the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Cena runs out the ring and goes to tackle AJ. AJ moves. Cena runs straight into the steel steps. And AJ could try and win by count out here, but he stops it and says, no ref, want to beat him fair and square in the middle of the ring. Cena then puts AJ through the table with the commentator's table with an AA. Cena is content with winning by count out.
I loved that moment.
That was great. So, like, AJ just been put through a table, and then he gets back in, and then after a few bits, he loses. So that's why I think AJ's protected there, mm-hmm. because Cena kind of, you know, took the shortcut route.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I think it's very good, subtle storytelling, but I can see why people wouldn't like it also.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I loved that moment of him, like, of AJ stopping the count, because the commentator said, and I think it was Corey Graves said, like, AJ could take the count out and win here. Yeah. And then as soon as he said that, AJ, like, told the referee, stop counting. I want to win this in the middle of the ring. Goes out and gets put at the table. Cena instantly gets back into the ring and is like, start counting. Oh, it was such a great moment for Cena. And then he was just sat there trying to catch his breath, trying to recover. And then when AJ got back in at 9, the look on Cena's face was just like, oh, I thought that would work.
Yeah, he like yelled out, oh, come on. That, like frustrated. What a brilliant moment when AJ was through the table and he used a fan's hand to get himself back up.
Oh, brilliant. So good.
Really like that.
Yeah. That fan could have been a real knob and let go.
Yeah, push him down.
So heel turn.
Cena reversed a calf crusher into the AA
great
for
reversal.
A win. Yep, really inventive. And then the heels, everyone was kept cutting backstage, the people watching the match at various ridiculous angles, apart from Baron.
Baron knows how to watch a TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which made me think, why don't you just show people watching stuff backstage in a replay? Because, you know, like when they shrink down the screens and you've got a dual screen. Because the reason for having them watch at such an obtuse angle is so you can see, so the audience can see the screen as well.
Yeah, so we as an audience can see that they're watching the match, because WWE are worried that we're complete morons, that they might be watching another channel. They might have just loaded up Netflix to watch Stranger Things.
Well, just so the audience can keep up with the action.
Oh, right. I'd never really thought of that way.
Yeah, I always thought of it.
I thought they were just doing it, because I'm never watching the screen. No. I'm watching the people watch the screen.
So, but you can get the same thing with a dual screen replay graphic.
Yeah.
So yeah, but they're not that's here to my make, quick fix.
They're not here to make wrestling shows, Ollie. They're here to make movies. And that's how people watch movies and TV.
So, yeah, the heels ran out, which is Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Baron Corbin, because heels. And they beat up Cena and AJ until Dolph Ziggler ran out and fought them off. And the baby face is celebrated when apparently someone says 20 seconds
to
Dolph. And Dolph hastily attacks AJ. And Cena quickly AAs
Ziggler. I was going to say, because I think there was an extra, like, I think he laid out AJ as well, Cena.
Yeah.
Because I was going through the WWE.com photos for the review, and I found the picture of AJ giving the AA to Dolph, and I was like, there's one more image here. I went back, and it was Cena hitting a big move on AJ, and I was like, they must have run short on time.
Yeah, which is weird for SmackDown, because usually it finishes, and then there's four minutes of Randy Orton posing in the ring.
Yeah.
So, an okay episode of SmackDown, but compared to how it's been this year, a freaking incredible episode of SmackDown with a really good tag promo segment. I love the main event.
Yeah.
Thought it was really good. I like having Nakamura back.
Yeah, same here.
First half of the show wasn't that great.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, overall, who do you think won?
It's tough because, like, as I said, like, Raw was a tale of two halves in most of the segments, but I love that Roman bit, and I really like Ronda on the show. And
Seth.
And Seth was awesome. Yeah, that Seth Miz match was really great. And despite the fact that there was issues with it, I liked the bit when Bayley jumped off the apron. I wish it actually played into something, but I liked it. But I think I'm going to go SmackDown this week.
No way.
I think so. Are you going Raw?
I'm going Raw. I'm so hard on on Monday Night Rollins.
I can see.
Damn it.
That's it now.
Gonna Google his pictures after this.
No one, a very small percentage of this audience makes it through to this point. But that's all the comments now are gonna be everyone linking to you saying, so hard for Rollins right now.
So hard for Rollins.
Do you know how I can tell that you and I have spent the last couple of days not in the same office space?
Because the podcast intro and outros are longer. Because this is when we actually get a chance to talk.
Well, that's one point. Because there have been other people in the studio. Ollie's not been able to sit in the main studio area with me, podcast listeners. He's had to go into the cupboard that I was in a couple of weeks ago. So we haven't had this chat. But I knew on Tuesday, I said to my wife, I was like, that makes so much sense as to why I know Ollie's not been in the same room as me. You didn't tell me that MasterChef was back on TV.
I don't watch MasterChef.
Well, you should do, because I thought you did watch MasterChef.
No, I love I know you like the Great British Bake Off.
Which
is coming back with celebrities next week.
Is it really?
Yeah, apparently.
Well, see, there you go. You probably told me that on Monday. But I could have sworn that, like, this time last year, you and I were having major discussions about MasterChef.
No, sincerely doubt it, because the Greg chap...
Maybe that's what I'm getting confused with.
Really does my head.
We've had multiple chats.
Oh, my God, look at this. Look at this. Can I touch it? I want to play with it. Oh, I could do this. Blah, blah, blah. Now I'm going to move on to the next thing. Blah, 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 blah.
He's great, though. That has got banging amounts of flavour. Love it.
Yeah.
What you've given us here is you've given us big bit of fennel. And I don't like it.
I mean, he is quite a comedic presence, but I can't stand him for longer than like a 30-second dose. Well, I don't hate the guy, but I just, you know, for me, 30 seconds is enough, and I'm then happy to throw my TV out the window.
So the podcast, that my favourite description of him is he's everything just amazes him, and especially because he does all those shows.
He's a kid.
Yeah, does those shows where, like, they walk him around factories and stuff. He's like, are you telling me this makes 1,000 sugar puffs a second?
Yeah. He's a kid on a school trip on those things.
Oh, it's so good. And then you couple that with John Turode, very super serious John Turode, and he's like, this has got bags of flavour, love, the bears all coming through. And then John Turode goes, what you gonna say? There's some carrots and some mince. I'm not that impressed.
Chalk and cheese.
It's very good. I love it so much. And it's back, and it's on 3 times a week.
That's a lot.
And it's on again tonight, and my wife and I are very excited.
Yeah, because it's Monday, Wednesday.
Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays, because we just finished watching...
an hour an episode.
Yes, they are, yeah. We just finished watching through Big Little Lies. So we were looking for something to manage to get ourselves hooked back on. Mm. And our evenings... Because, you know, we're married now, so we can't talk anymore. So we were going through old episodes that we hadn't watched of Naked Attraction and First Dates.
Oh, Christ alive.
You don't watch that?
I do, but only because I have to, because my lady partner watches it, and it's in the corner. And I find it very hard to, you know...
I bet you do.
To have stuff on. God, this is off the back of the Rollins chat. To just have stuff on in the background, because my mind's it gets tunnel vision. It can only do one thing at a time. Mm. And I would prefer, after maybe 8:30 p.m., to just sit in the corner and read.
Yeah.
But Anna wants to have the TV on in the background. In the background, which means I have to watch whatever crap is on.
Yeah.
And it is so crap. The Naked Attraction thing. I mean, is this a format that's travelled to America?
I don't think it has yet. So for anyone who doesn't, I mean... It
feels very European.
It's so European. It's very Bravo in the late 90s. Bit Eurotrash. Mm. So essentially, it is a dating show in which a person is put in front of 6 pods, and those pods have got, like, coloured glass in front of them. And then behind that colour glass is a very naked person. 100% as the day they were born, naked in front of them. Mm-hmm. So if a woman is doing it, she might have a man or a woman, depending on her sexuality, and vice versa. It might be a man looking at six ladies or six fellas. And or actually sometimes a mixture of both, depending on where, you know, where their cards lay. And then the pods reveal parts of their body round by round, and they have to whittle down those people based on naked attraction alone. Quite a vain little show, but me and my wife absolutely love it. It's the worst TV, but it's thoroughly entertaining.
Why do you love it?
Because like we just have very in-depth chats about the people on screen,
about their body. Yeah, that when you like pick apart people's bodies, but doesn't that make you feel horrible?
Well, no, because
you're just picking apart someone's body.
But we never do it maliciously. We're actually always very positive.
Scientifically,
we're always very positive about people, and we just talk about things very. It's fun for us to watch. Although we don't have curtains in our house, and I'm pretty sure people from the street can see our TV. Probably makes us look like weirdos.
Not a good thing to watch on the tube either.
No. Well, I mean, I started watching that Dark show on Netflix because I was looking for something to watch on the tube, and so I downloaded the first episode of Dark. First 30 seconds was just a lot of humping, and I was like, I probably shouldn't be watching this on the tube. Because then you're like, where do you guide it to? Like, there's nowhere for you to really...
Just turn the brightness down.
The show's called Dark. It's already quite dark.
Well, I'm as riveting as what we're watching on TV at the moment. Just finished Girls.
My wife is watching through it because she loved it, but she missed it. She's only in like season 3 or something.
It's a superb show.
I thought it was pretty pants.
It is superb. And it gave us Adam Driver.
It did give us Adam Driver. Have you got access to Now TV then?
Yes, I do.
Have you watched Big Little Lies?
No, I don't think I will be either.
Why not?
Because there's 100 other things that
It's 7 episodes.
Yeah. I see that already gets me a bit tired thinking about it. I want to go home. I want to just go home and I want to watch all the President's Men.
Yeah?
On repeat. That's how I feel at the moment after the post. Screw you, Nixon! It ends. Should I say?
I was going to say, yeah. this movie that's just come out, by the way, here's how it ends.
No. But, you know, like, it isn't about the Watergate scandal, but it's about the scandal that happened before Watergate. So at the end, there is a line like... You know, like, man, I hope nothing else happens. And then and we're all like, huh, Watergate, got that, bit ham-fisted. But they totally ham some more, they fist a big joint of ham by then showing Nixon just doing bit, and then like play out the Watergate thing in the last couple of minutes. I was like, this is a post-credit sequence. Why can't prestige Oscar dramas now have post-credits?
I saw a tweet from someone who said, well, I went to go see Black Panther, the lights went down, and then they came back up and more film played. And then they went back down again, and more film played. Is this a common occurrence?
Wow.
And everyone was just like, mate, welcome to 10 years ago. But then someone said, when you see it from someone's perspective for the first time, it is mad that that Marvel don't just put their film in the actual film.
It's so much cooler done this way.
Isn't it just?
I like it when seeing a Marvel movie and everyone gets up. Not everyone, but like half the audience will always get up and leave.
Yeah.
Wait around, losers. And noobs.
I wonder as well, because those people have probably seen other Marvel movies and might have even seen them on Blu-ray.
Have they consciously seen Marvel movies, though? Do they actually know it's all connected and that there's format?
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that they have seen other Marvel movies. So, like, people who've been to see Black Panther might have seen Civil War as well, but haven't stuck around for any of the post-credit sequence. So do they know that there's this big overarching thing and there's post-credit sequences? Also, if you've seen a handful of Marvel movies, you'd probably say... Well, I think that happened in one of those other films that I saw with a different title. And they've referenced that. That was from that other film that I've seen.
I think some people, and I've met them, and I'm related to them, don't take it in.
It's your dad.
It's my dad. He just doesn't take it in. He just does. Like, you could show him, you know, Captain America one night, and then the next night you could play him Captain America Civil War. And at the end of it, you'll be like, so how do you think, like, the two connected? He'll be, oh, are they connected? Is it really? Didn't really get that.
Oh, right.
Is it just a sequel? Well, it's kind of...
Yeah. Well, they are sequels.
Or like if I showed him the Avengers. It just won't go in.
No.
It won't go in. And because he doesn't care. And it's just not his thing. Which is fair enough.
Yeah.
He's wrong. But okay, let's do some podcast reviews before we get out of here. First up, we're in January now.
Oh, lovely.
Shidalak 26 writes, over podcast in wrestling. Oh, excuse me. What started as a casual watch on YouTube has turned into one... Oh, my God, I've got hiccups.
Do you want me to
do it? One of my favourite forms of entertainment.
He's got it.
Ollie and Luke just get it. I look forward to the new podcasts every week and have become a Patreon backer.
Hey!
Simply because these guys deserve my money for all the laughs and insight they have provided me over the last year. I am pumped to be a member of hashtag Swaft Nation. Well, did I spell that right? Some emojis... No, he's written Soft Nation.
No, he's written Swaft Nation.
No, that's...
SW...
Oh, yeah, sorry. Bit dyslexic there. Keep up the good, great work, lads.
Thank you very much, Shadalak.
Thank you, Shadalak. And John...
Oh, Shadalak.
John and 96 Kisses writes, shout out from Texas. Ollie and Luke are some of the most enjoyable pod people to listen to with mostly wrestling-based conversation, but even their rambling is incredibly enjoyable.
Good.
Probably apart from the last 10 minutes of TV
watch. Hey, that was
great
chat.
The podcast or their YouTube page is my most obsessively checked entertainment on my phone. They feel like two honest friends just shooting the S word, and this makes them far superior to all of the other wrestling review / news groups. Haven't been able to afford Patreon yet, but I will eventually. If I could get a shout out of my Twitter, I would love some conversation from other fans about my take on things. So go on and talk to @abcrazy9. Keep up the great work, guys. Proud Swaft Nation member.
And we love you for it, John. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Well, that's all we've got time for today. We'll be back on Saturday with some mailbag fun and some news bits. See you then.
Love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.